Do not go anywhere. First up, though, we are joined by the head of media for the Action Network. He is also a best-selling author. My guest is Chad Millman. Chad, it's great to have you on the program. How are you?
I'm good. Good to be with you. This is awesome.
Chad, this is awesome. Great to have you on. I've been looking forward to talking to you. Let me first ask you, what was your reaction when you heard the news of the Supreme Court's decision regarding sports gambling? What was the first thing that went through your mind?
Oh, my God, I can't believe this happened. That was exactly it. Not because the Supreme Court ruled that I had a feeling when they decided to take the case a year ago in the summer that they had something to say, that they would like to think that I was thinking that they probably wanted to figure out a way to overturn some component of the federal betting ban. But I think what was shocking, and this is what was shocking to everybody who's been handicapping this case, for lack of a better term, was that they overturned the entire federal betting ban, which that was really unexpected. It sort of opened the floodgates on what's possible in this space from a content perspective, from a business perspective, for bookmakers, from a state perspective, for revenue generation. It turned it into a much bigger business.
These are all relevant points, all pertinent questions. But let me ask you this. I mean, there's the option that there could be federal regulation of sports gambling. How likely is that, or do you think that Congress is just going to leave it up to the states?
I think that Congress will eventually enact federal legislation. And the reason is twofold. One, they are going to get lobbied so hard. It is only a massive business if the biggest players in the market have the opportunity to capitalize on it. And we're talking about places like William Hill, which is a huge bookmaker overseas that for the past 10 years has been buying sports books all over Nevada, as well as getting ready to implement sports books in New Jersey and Delaware. Places like Paddy Power, which just made a deal to buy the daily fantasy site FanDuel to get a foothold into that market and use their customers to convert them into sports bettors. Plus the leagues, they can only make a ton of money if it's federally regulated. And the media companies, they stand to benefit because the larger entities that I just mentioned in the bookmaking space, they're the ones who are going to go and spend hundreds of millions of dollars a year on advertising to reach customers. And it's harder to do all of that if you have to geo-target. If you're running ads on Monday Night Football and you got to figure out, all right, I want to get bettors in New York, but I can't get bettors in New Jersey. I can't get people in New Jersey because it's not legal there. It just makes it a lot more complicated and dirtier from a business perspective.
Chad Millman joining us. All right, Chad, so if we look at how big this business can be, as an example, how much money are we talking about in legalized sports gambling right now, and then how much do you expect that to grow as a result of this decision?
Well, I think if you're talking about it from two places. One, the handle on legalized sports betting, I mean, the total number of bets made legally in the United States is really only in the state of Nevada, and that's in the $4.5 billion range. I forget exactly what the handle is, but it's $4 to $5 billion last year was bet. Not a huge amount when you compare it to, say, the 170 to as much as $400 billion market that everyone estimates this is when you think about the illegal bets made. So you transition that, obviously, with right now the only state that's really ready to go after this other than Nevada is New Jersey, and then you have Delaware, and I think very soon, probably by football season, if they can get it right, you've got New York. Clearly, it's not going to go from $5 billion legal market to $170 billion legal market with adding those three states. But what you are going to get is an increased activity around the marketing. And just overseas, think about what's happening in Australia and what's happening in England. Those places, the influx of cash from the larger businesses, from the bookmakers and everyone else who's trying to reach customers is a multi-billion dollar. We're talking, you know, high billion-dollar market, $9 billion, $10 billion market in the United States. Imagine how much bigger that's going to be.
Chad Millman joining us. Chad, before I ask you how you ended up where you are right now, let me ask you this. Given the numbers you just laid out, how much will the expansion of legalized gambling impact the way people watch and engage with games?
I think it's massive, Jim. I mean, you think about the number of people, there was a study, the number of games people watch, the number of NFL games people watch when they don't bet on sports in a standard season is 15. An average number of games people watch when they do bet on sports is more than 40. The time that people engage with sports when they bet on those games is 40% higher than it is with people who don't bet on sports. So what you're going to be getting is just an audience that is significantly happier to be watching these games. They're going to be watching them for longer. They're going to want to watch more of them. It's going to change the way people are covering these games because they want to capture that audience. I mean, honestly, look at fantasy. Fantasy has become such a huge driver of people's attention on a Sunday afternoon that all the networks are building programming specifically around engaging that fantasy fan.
We're talking to Chad Millman. So, Chad, then, in terms of your personal story, the road to becoming the head of media for the Action Network to me is fascinating. How did you first get interested and then start gaining knowledge about sports gambling?
So I was at ESPN forever. I was at ESPN for the better part of 20 years, from 98 until 2017. And the only time I wasn't at ESPN was in 1999. I was an editor at the magazine, and I wrote a story for the magazine about the guys who set the point spreads for the NCAA tournament. It was a bunch of bookmakers at the Stardust Hotel on the Strip in Las Vegas, and this was before the internet had become sort of the predominant mover of lines and maker of lines. So anything that happened in sports betting happened first at the Stardust. And it was a multi-billion-dollar industry that was being sort of predicated and built on the point spreads these bookmakers were making. And so I talked to them for the NCAA tournament, thought it was fantastic, and then asked them if I could write a book about them and sort of their interplay with professional gamblers over the course of the college basketball season. And that book was called The Odds. And I spent the 99-2000 season in Vegas sort of tracking one professional bettor who was considered the best college basketball handicapper in the world at the time and the bookmakers and seeing how sort of lines moved and sort of the small details that impacted this huge, huge, what I call the parallel conversation that we're all having about sports. I did that and then just sort of went back to the magazine and became an editor. But along the way, I was writing a column about sports betting for ESPN.com. And then I started a podcast about sports betting for ESPN Audio and was doing television. And so it all sort of morphed into something bigger. And then I had, you know, I was editor-in-chief of the magazine and editorial director of ESPN Digital and made gambling a central part of our coverage. And so when the folks who started the Action Network were looking for someone to help build their content space, they called me. And to be honest, like this was, you know, last summer, fall, and you could see the landscape changing pretty aggressively. And while I was very happy at ESPN and it's a great life, I felt like if I was ever going to, you know, make a bet, it was going to be in this space with the people who started the Action Network, and that was the Churning Group.
Chad Millman's my guest. So you made a big bet. Chad, help me with this. Now, and you can set me straight. Tell me if this is a breach in etiquette or a breach in protocol, but if we're talking about making bets, right, what's the biggest bet you ever laid? Now, you might say, well, this, I gave up an amazing job at ESPN, but aside from that, the biggest actual bet you've ever made, what was it?
It was, I can tell you exactly what it was, because I've never tried to hide this. I am not a massive bettor. Like, to me, what I love about this area is, like, the language is really interesting and visceral and emotional. I love the characters. I love the parallel conversation. I think it's really influential. I love the math and the psychology. But the biggest bet I ever made, it was $300. And it was on. It was actually when I was reporting the book and I was doing the odds in Vegas. And I had bet on Utah State to cover against Connecticut. They were 9-point dogs in the NCAA tournament. And they were covering the whole game. And in the last 2 minutes, all the scrubs came in. UConn was winning by like 8 or 10 points. And the scrubs came in. And UConn made a bucket. And they were up by 11 with about 3 or 4 seconds left. And then Rick Mahorn's nephew, I think, was on Utah State. He came in off the bench, and he launched a three-pointer from about between half court and the three-point line, and it went in. And so they covered. The spread was 9. They lost by 8. I won that $300 bet, and I was so happy. And then I looked over to my right, and the guy I wrote this book about picked up the phone and put $100,000 back in play because that's how much he had just won on that shot.
Wow.
And that put everything I was doing in perspective.
That's insane. All right, so when you talk to these people and you wrote that book, what's the more intense feeling, the big win or the bad beat?
Oh, the bad beat. I mean, the bad beat is just, it wrecks people because they think about all the things that went wrong. They think about the call. They think about the shot. They think about the missed tackle. I mean, and look, we do something on actionnetwork.com where we're writing about the bad beats every single day because it's like a traffic accident. And, you know, people can't stop but watch and see what happened. And you don't write about the big wins because the flip side of those is somebody won a game like that, but it's not as exciting. And it's like a bad golf game, right? Like, bettors love to wallow in sort of their own misery, and they love to share these stories in a way that is really emotional. And so when you write about a bad beat, it gets tons and tons of traction, and that's how bettors sort of view the world.
It's almost like it hurts so much, it almost feels good. It doesn't feel good, but having owned horse races, I've been on the wrong end of some bad beats, and it feels so horrible that it's kind of like when that feeling's not there, you kind of miss it. Let me finally ask you this. For the Action Network, how much of the content that you provide your subscribers is like straight data, straight intel, and then how much of it is entertainment-based? In other words, you know you're going to get the people who love gambling. Does it appeal to a casual player as well?
Yes. It's probably about 40% here's hardcore stuff that you want to subscribe for that is driven by our data and our tools and our analytics and our analysis that says, here's who you want to play tonight and why. Or these are the reasons why we think you should bet on this series or you shouldn't bet or which direction you should go. But the stories that we're finding, like, that really resonate with people and that capture the biggest audience, it's like Jason Sobel, who's one of our writers, who's probably the premier golf writer in the country and was at ESPN for 20 years, he wrote a phenomenal story about the night he lost a bet to Phil Mickelson on a boxing match, and that Mickelson had set up this huge party for everybody to come watch this fight and casually dropped, hey, if anybody wants to bet on this fight with me, I'm taking action. And like half the room did it. Clearly they were all suckered by Mickelson because he knew what was going to, he had studied that fight. He had handicapped that fight and nobody else had done it. Like another story that tracked really well for us was Paul LaDuca, who was a major league catcher for 10 years, and you know from sort of the horse business, like he's a massive follower of the horses and has been for years. And so he was a four-time All-Star, but he wrote a story for us about winning $80,000 on the Kentucky Derby and watching the race from the clubhouse when he was playing for the Marlins and getting called out to the field by a clubhouse kid, because the umpire was waiting for him to come to the plate to take his at-bat. But he was watching the race to see if he was going to win $80,000. And he won the race, won $80,000, raced up to the home plate, was out of breath, told the catcher, just throw me a fastball. I'm going to slap this to short. We're going to get out of this inning because I just won $80,000. And that's exactly what happened. And so, you know, we very much try to traffic in the stories that we know are going to resonate with the widest audience possible because, I mean, as you know, people just want to hear good stories. And people are fascinated by stories that involve money and risk. And those are always going to be winners, and you don't need to be a bettor in order to really enjoy reading or hearing about those things.
That's so true, Trent. Chad, these are great stories. And the thing is, they're great stories that ordinarily might not be told, but now that the thing is changing and the way we look at it is changing, it's not so taboo, people are going to want to hear these things and have a great thirst for these things. And a good place to get it is the Action Network. He is the head of media for the Action Network and a best-selling author. Chad, it is great to have you in the jungle. Really nice to talk to you again. Let's make sure we do it again soon. I loved it.
I love it, Jim. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Take care, Chad. Have a great weekend. Chad Millman. Those are all great, great stories. Great stories.